Pass the Mic is made possible by a grant from the T. Rowe Price Foundation, recognizing 45 years of advancing thriving communities and building financial well-being. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not reflect the views of the T. Rowe Price Foundation, T. Rowe Price, or any of their subsidiaries or affiliates.
Pass the mic.
Hand that to me.
Pass it over here.
Pass the mic.
Pass the Mic gives you the space to share your stories, issues, and concerns your way. Today we pass the mic to Ashley Minner-Jones, who documents the American Indian Lumbee Tribe in Baltimore. She reflects on the influence of her family on her work and life.
Pass the mic.
I've lived on the same block my entire life. My dad is really what made it my place in the world, and it feels a little like a time to revisit that now that he's not physically there. My name is Ashley Minner-Jones. I'm a community-based visual artist and a folklorist from Baltimore. I could not explain who I am without talking about both Lumbee and Baltimore. The largest group of American Indian people in the Baltimore region are citizens of the Lumbee Tribe of North Carolina. Between sometime in the 1940s and the very early 1970s, there were between 2,000 and 7,000 Lumbee Indians living in this little part of the city that bridges the neighborhoods of Upper Fells Point and Washington Hill. I actually was, I guess, in my early 30s before I even had an inkling of what all there used to be. The only way to find out about what there was is to talk to the elders who lived it. They are our institutional memory. With the clues they gave me, I could go into archives, try to find documentation, put together a print guide to East Baltimore's Historic American Indian Reservation, and then we made BaltimoreReservation.com and the Guide to Indigenous Baltimore. I always knew I was an artist. My artist grandma helped out with that in overt ways, but the rest of my family was very supportive too, and I feel like most of them are artists in their own right. My dad was a musician, every kind of instrument in the house, and our family played music and sang regularly. I grew up in Dundalk. My dad and mom, they bought the house across the backyard for my Lumbee grandfather. He and my grandma really kind of recreated the deeper South in there. He would just leave the back door unlocked and I never had to knock. It always smelled like the food they were making. In his fridge, he had a coffee can for fish grease and a Maxwell House coffee can for chicken grease. My grandfather and my grandmother were married, and then they got divorced, and then they got remarried, but they still kind of loved-hated each other. So the first part of the house, that was more like where my grandfather lived. And then you go into the back part of the house, and my grandma, who was an artist, I mean, like, she had a white sofa and gold accents everywhere and art books and a princess telephone. My grandfather, after he passed away, I just moved in. His house was in disrepair. It was a little bit like camping inside. And I lived that way through my whole 20s. And it was fun and it was cute because I was an artist and, you know, didn't have to worry about messing much up. My dad passed away in January of this year, and it was completely unexpected. We found out that he had advanced stage liver cancer shortly after New Year's, and it was a couple weeks stay in the hospital, and then he came home on hospice and passed away, and it just doesn't even seem real. They came to take his body away when the snow was starting to fall. And then for the first time, I almost feel like if he's not there, there's a question about, do we need to stay there? I had no idea how very much like him I am. So I thought it was my mom's mom that tapped me to be the keeper of the things and the stories and the one that really knew the family history and still used all the tools. But I think it was as much, if not more, him. My daughter and my dad were like best friends. My daughter will be 4 in July. I am so scared she'll forget him. Because kids her age, they're really in the present, and it's already been a few months since she's come bursting through their back door and he's like, oh no, it's the girl, or, you know, thinking of new ways to pick on her. And since they played music together or ate popsicles together, He was so completely thrilled to have a granddaughter. He was a really good girl dad. He said he was proud of me. I got a flat tire a few feet away from the house, and he, my uncle, and my husband were all out there fixing my tire, and I was like, this is why I'm right here. So I started this new printmaking, papermaking project. I wanted to document where Lumbees have inscribed themselves into the landscape here in Baltimore. People wrote in the concrete on my grandparents' back porch, and I'm still doing art with that. I spent most of my life on that back porch. There was a time when I spent a lot of nights up thinking about where else in the world would it even make sense for me to be. And I don't think there is anywhere.
Pass the Mic is produced by Elizabeth Nonemaker, senior producer Mallory Pinkard-Pierre, and executive producer Amy Walters. This is a presentation of Baltimore Public Media.